For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcan.
I love shrimp.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Let me upgrade you
on WEEI.
Gotcha. Participated in day one yesterday. We didn't see him until midway through. Came up from the backfield. Didn't seem to do anything. Is that contract related?
No, not at all. Not at all. It has nothing to do with the contract. He had a little bit of tightness, but he's another guy who, you know, you want to reward the players that embody or encompass what we're trying to create here from a cultural perspective. And also, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses, and he helps with that.
That was Gerard Mayo giving that answer, and somehow no one seemed to notice that his pants were on fire because he was a big liar. Of course, it had something to do with the contract. What are you talking about? Oh, no, he just had a little tightness. Really? He had a little tightness? Is that why he said he just wants some respect like 5 minutes after that? Completely contradicting you and your cover fire for him there? Like, come on.
Tightness, like, in his wallet.
Right, exactly. Right. Pretty candid. Judon was candid yesterday. He was candid today. And Godshaw was asked about the why he wasn't there. He says, I just want some respect. Just a little respect. He says, it's frustrating playing with no guaranteed money, but I'm going to put it in Drew's hands. He's talking about Drew Rosenhaus, of course. Mm. He's going to do his best with it. And he said, I'd love to be here, but at the end of the day, it's a business. That doesn't sound like a guy who was out with tightness.
No, it also doesn't sound like a guy who's like trying to endear himself to the team.
No.
The way that at least,
yeah.
I know we had Tommy Curran on yesterday, and he was saying that he was praising Matthew Judon, for having this delicate dance of the way that he's talking about his contract situation,
yeah,
and doing it in a way that's kind of good natured. And, you know, I think he already has a pretty good reputation with the media. He won the Good Guy Award.
He also was like, you know, I signed the contract, so I got to honor the thing. I don't want to, but I have to. Godchild's like, I'm not getting respect. We'll see what happens.
Godchild's just saying, I want guaranteed money. And that's, hey, you signed what I used to think was a Belichick contract,
right,
which was a lot of bells and whistles and not a lot of guarantees. And now I'm thinking maybe it's just a Robin contract.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, Godshaw was someone who Bill said was one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, okay? Like, he was talking about him like he was Aaron Donald and all these, like, Chris Jones and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Could it be that while Belichick really coveted Judon and Godshaw, Gerard Mayo just doesn't think these guys are that good or that impactful or really worthy of anything else, and he wanted to keep the young guys around because he felt like these guys are aging out and we don't need to pay these guys. We have Josh Uche. We don't need to pay this guy. We have Keon White. We have all, you know, Christian Barmore and these other interior linemen. We'll be okay. They can take a walk. Could it be as simple as that? Because it does seem like Gerard Mayo wants to pay everybody except these two.
Well, that's why I keep going back to the veteran thing and the age thing. I mean, we're talking about two guys in their 30s, more so. I know Judon's older, obviously, and definitely has a lot more games on that body. But it's just obvious to me that the Patriots are in a place where it's a youth movement, and particularly on the defensive side where we do see them shelling out this money. I just think if you are a vet, if you are of a certain age, they are not interested in doing that. And that's why I think it's a strategy that someone in there is preaching and they're believing in. I mean, it obviously has to be Elliot Wolf, right? So I just think, you know, the best way to handle it is the way Judon is. I still ultimately do believe he will get a deal, although you could start to think about him as trade bait. I mean, there are teams around this league that would love to have his service.
I don't know.
I think there would be. I don't know how much they'll give you.
I don't think it's worth the value rather than just throwing in a couple million dollars to boost him this year.
I know.
I'm not saying that you have to sign him to some long extension or even a medium couple year extension. I'm saying give him a boost again. Fronted some money last year. Give him a boost this year.
Agreed.
Let's not pretend like this is contracts like you have in a normal workplace.
Right.
Especially when they're not guaranteed on the other side. He's been mostly a good guy here. Just give him the money. Godchow is like honestly just a different department to me. Like, it's just, I don't, maybe it's not fair, but I feel like it's a different situation.
Same. Yeah, I mean, I think both of those guys could be easily re-signed. You know, it's not like that either one of them would be restrictive or prohibitive to doing even more moves than that if you wanted to, if you really want to bring everybody back and run everyone back. It seems like they're hesitant to run these two guys back for one reason or another. With Judon, it's a little more puzzling. I think we all agree with that. Mayo talked about what Judon said yesterday, and Judon yesterday said a lot. I mean, he had a little scrum, and he said, I don't really want to play under this number. I think I deserve more than this, but, you know, I signed the contract. I don't want to get traded. And he spoke candidly and sort of honestly. It was kind of, you know, for Patriots fans, you don't usually hear guys talk like that. And not just Patriots fans. I feel like most NFL teams, you don't hear players talking like this. Like, right. This is all, like, everyone's like, oh, this never would have happened with Belichick around. It's like, I don't think this would have happened if Josh McDaniels was the coach or, like, you know, any other number of people. I just feel like Jerod Mayo's letting him say whatever, and he kind of reinforced that with his comments on Mayo, on Judon, actually. Listen to this.
Do you worry at all about his concerns or his disgruntled nature, if that's a way to describe it right now, might impact others on the team?
You know, we have a great relationship, but I hate that you use the word disgruntled, because I would say he's out here working every day. His attitude is great in the classroom. His attitude is great on the field. And you guys see him flying around here. Obviously, there is a business component to this sport, and he understands that. You know, we want him here. He's a very good player for us, and he does everything that we want him to do. So hopefully it works out.
Does it undermine anyone's authority? For both you and Elliot are in new positions right now, and he seems to be very open to that. We're just not used to that.
Look, I'm good with it. I don't want to put a cap on, you know, if the guy feels a certain type of way, he has that privilege to come out here and tell you guys how he feels. I have to respect it no matter what. At some point in time, there's going to be a player that comes up here and says, you know what, I hate Coach Jerod, or I hate Mayo. And look, that's how they feel, and I respect that. And, you know, I know we want to keep as much stuff, you know, in-house. But there will be times where they come out here and express themselves, and I think it's good. Look, they listen to the interview here, and I listen to their interviews as well. Like, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the players, really, and that's how I think about it. So, you know, as the season continues to progress, I want the relationship with the media from the coach's perspective and also from the player's perspective to be a good relationship. And I'm not saying to write all the positive articles. Like, you write your opinion. That's what you pay for.
Don't worry, Jerod.
Okay.
You don't have to tell them twice.
Don't worry about that.
Two things that I took from that. Mm-hmm. One being, what player is going to get up there and do that? I would very
what
much look forward to that.
What player has ever gone up in front of a press conference and said, I hate coach whoever?
They what hate is that? Their coach.
I mean, really? Like, that's.
They'll let somebody else say it for them, but they're not going to get up there and go, hey, okay, so what did you see on this play, Jabril? Well, what I saw is that I hate my coach.
Yeah, Jerod Mayo, I hate Mayo. Mayo's
I hate
like,
Mayo.
That was not the question, but okay. And he's like, I'm sure some player's going to come up and say that. You're sure a player's going to say that? Really? Like, that's weird. It's not super.
Yeah,
right?
But
why wouldn't they be saying
something weird
else?
Expectations for the press conferences going forward. The second thing I would say really quickly is I don't think that Mayo will be okay with that. If they're at a point in this season when they're in a miserable record, let's say that they're, I don't know, 2-10, and they're sitting there and players are going up there and they're being as transparent as Judon was about his contract situation, mm-hmm. but about what's going on in the locker room, the dynamics of the team, what they think of the positional coaches.
I hate Coach
coaches.
Mayo.
That I don't think that any head coach in the NFL would be okay with, even if they're setting up a player lounge with PlayStation and starting practices at 11. I don't think any coach would sit there and go, well, you know, we're just working stuff out, and I'm ready. I've prepared myself for this.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Mayo's really – he's picked a lane. His lane is I'm going to be the player-friendly coach. I'm going to have these guys. We're all going to be friends. You know, they're going to like me and respect me. I'll respect them, treat them like men, whatever they want. You know, like, this is how I'm going to play this. This is how I'm going to start my career as a head coach. But I hear that. I'm sure people are going to come up and say, I hate Coach Mayo, and I think that's fine. Like, that's going way over in the other direction.
Yeah, he can't
like,
believe
it's
that.
It's overcompensating.
I think,
you know,
he's like, trying to send a message, and he says he's talking to the players through
exactly,
the media.
Exactly.
And I get that, but at the same time, it's like, and I want him to do really well, and I'm nervous about this season. But I hear that, and I go, Mayo is still getting in front of the mic and saying what he thinks everybody wants to hear from him.
Yeah.
And it feels very much like he's being a people pleaser and a player pleaser and being the press pleaser. And he wants to be, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he wants to appeal to everyone all the time. And at some point it's got to be like, hey man, like, there's going to be some tough moments where you're probably going to snap on a reporter and you're going to snap on a player.
Yeah, that's where I was actually going to go, where he said, I'm talking to the players through you all, through the media. And I just believe he's trying to establish a culture there of, you know, hey, what you guys feel, what you guys think matters to me. And we know there's a long history here of that not being the case. I also think, remember, you always kind of tend to go to the opposite of what you had before, right? And we understand Gerard Mayo is essentially a disciple of Bill Belichick.
Right.
But what I mean by this is Bill Belichick was rough around the edges with the media, to say the least. But players will always tell you, yeah, he was a tough guy, but he did love us up too. He did show personality. Bill was a funny guy. There were sides to Bill that you all didn't see. I wonder if this is the opposite. I wonder if Gerard Mayo, with the media, because I agree with Mego, it still feels like very much I'm trying to prove myself to you all, as in us in the media. It's like, bro, you don't have to do that. You got the gig. This is your show. But behind the scenes, as we get into the season, maybe he will be a hard O on the players. Maybe the players will see what we don't see out of Gerard Mayo, especially in the instance that this team struggles this year, which we all think is likely, right? So maybe behind the scenes, he is in guys' faces. He is hard on dudes. He is cussing guys out. We'll see if we hear those type of reports. But it is interesting to me that he is going that route in terms of with the media. And I just think a lot of it is being green. I do. I think this is learning on the job. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. Just like we were talking earlier about the extension with Peppers, and he's like, oh yeah, I can confirm that. I'm the coach. Like, I think he's still working out.
Yeah.
Being the new guy on the game.
That's me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is me.
Right.
I can confirm.
With Belichick,
I can confirm it. I'm the head coach. I can confirm it. All right. So,
that's me. I'm the head coach. With Belichick, the players, like, had to earn his respect. I feel like with Mayo, you're just the player, so he respects you, and he's going to pay you. He's going to get whatever you want, and you're going to get to play video games in the lounge. Here's Gerard Mayo talking about the new lounge.
You have a players' lounge in there, pool table, some games. Obviously, you came up in an environment when you're here to work and work only. What was the reasoning behind that change for you?
You know, to me, it's a look. This is their place, and that's their lounge, and that's their locker room. I think it's important that you have those spaces. One thing I've noticed over the past, let's say, you know, 5 years is, a lot of times when guys get a break, they just go into their locker and they get on their phone, they're scrolling through social media, and there's really no interaction. And I thought it was important, I should say, we thought it was important that those guys had a safe space to go. And really, like, that's also a time where they build camaraderie. You should see some of the ping pong games in there, or some of the, you know, some of the, even the PlayStation. You know, we have a PlayStation and Xbox in there as well. But it's really to, like, bring these guys closer together and have those guys want to be here. These days can be long, but we just thought it would be important for those guys to have that space.
It's called ping pong. Ever heard of it? You should see the ping pong games going on there. Like, okay. All right. Well, hey, you sold me there, Gerard. You got the ping pong going. I don't have any problem with there being a lounge. I'm sure most teams in the NFL have some sort of player lounge or something where they all go after practice. That doesn't seem like anything revolutionary. But again, for the Patriots, it's probably something that Mayo, when he was a player here, thought, you know, like, every other team has something like this. Why don't we? And I guess just it's sort of, to me, sort of the line here is between, okay, what are we doing that's like everybody else? And then what are we doing that's trying to set us apart from even that? Like, now all of a sudden we're bending over backwards to placate all these guys who won 4 games last year and make them feel like they're, you know, the kings of the world. I feel like there's got to be some sort of balance there.
It's a nice idea. It doesn't matter. It's a nice idea that you're going to get the guys together and they're going to spend more time around the facility and hang out, and maybe friendships will grow and blossom over that in different positional groups. When you work for a crappy company and they give you Pizza Fridays, nobody gives a crap about the Pizza Fridays. Like, they don't want to be there because your company sucks. You know, like, we've all been at that kind of workplace where you're like, this is toxic and I hate it and I want to get out. And if that's the situation that the Patriots find themselves in as a football team, nobody's going to be in that lounge. Guys are going to be like, okay, I'm done with my treatment. I'm getting out of here, you know?
Right.
And so it's a nice idea. I don't think it shows that he's too soft of a coach. I just don't think it really matters.
Preaching.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Paul is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on Matthew Judon. Hi, Paul.
My man, how you doing, Pastor?
How you doing?
What's how you up? Doing, Travis? How you doing, Mago?
Good, good. What
Hello,
up?
Hello, Paul.
What's up? What's up? Listen, what a great day we had today. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, we have to sign this guy because, Judon, because Mayo needs him. He doesn't need Mayo. He can make his money any team in, under 500, okay, in the NFL. But you have to understand that the chemistry that he lays out in that locker room is very important for a young coach and his that administration. Wolf is not stupid. He is not stupid. He's just trying to sign the younger guys that will take you 4 years into the program or 3 years. And you guess what? You have a quarterback like Mayo, like May, that's going to be a quarterback for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You have a backup quarterback like Bazooka Joe, okay? And you have an experienced quarterback like Jacoby. It's right. All about experience. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thanks for the call, Paul.
Thank you for listening.
Let me just say this. This better be the happiest GD locker room in the history of the NFL. Because not only are they all getting big extensions here, the coaching staff and everybody is bending over backwards to make sure they're comfortable and they have a safe space and this, that, whatever, and all this other stuff that they maybe weren't getting with Belichick, but they were winning when they were, for the most part, for those 20 years. These guys better be happy as hell all year. I don't want to hear anything. Like, honestly.
You don't want to hear I hate Coach Mayo?
I do not. I don't want to hear any discontent. This is better, right? Like, if this is the new generation of athlete we're talking about here, and you're talking about, connecting with these younger players. If this isn't connecting, then what are you supposed to do?
This will be the happiest 4-13 team you have ever seen, ever. The GOAT of happy 4-13.
Isn't
baby.
That what we're all afraid of, though? That they're just going to keep sucking, but they'll be very happy
they'll
with
be
themselves
so happy.
And pleased with themselves.
Hey, you know, we're trying hard, guys. We are giving it our all right?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting situation here as the Patriots now go into the Gerard Mayo era. I wanted to talk a little bit about the offense, which seems to be struggling a bit. Not Gerard Mayo, Drake May spoke today and talked about his day throwing. He had more throws than Jacoby Brissett did. We know that. And that could be something that that you can read into. But first, let's go back to the phones. Jamal is in the car. He has a thought on Gerard Mayo and the press. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, I'd just like to say congratulations to Mrs. Adelini Hu on your
congratulations,
marriage.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
And she only fell down once.
It's true. I'll tell that
only
story after.
One time, yeah.
Yeah. I had a big trip.
Definitely.
That's all. Really, when you get married, all you have to do is remember to say I do and not trip. And she got one of those two. So she got one of those two right. Hey, congratulations. Someone just got married out on Lansdowne Street. I don't know if maybe right out here in front of the studio.
She anyway, did not fall down either.
She did not. No, go ahead, Jamal. Sorry.
No problem. Well, first of all, I just was calling to say that I think it's pretty funny that Gerard Mayo is the way he's acting. I just keep thinking of like what Bill would say. What would Bill say in this situation? Like when we start losing eventually, I could just picture him with that little bat that they were talking about before, and he's tapping right. it on the podium, and everyone's scared to ask him a question because he's going to give a smart answer.
He's dragging the bat around like Negan in The Walking
Dead. I already forgot that story. Remember that story? Dumb story about how at the end of last year he's going into meetings and he's not taking stuff seriously because he's got a little bat that he's twirling around?
Swinging around.
Come on.
I mean.
That was nonsensical.
I didn't think that made him look great, honestly.
I thought it was a stupid detail.
You're in a meeting. You're standing there working on your
bat. Yeah, but it's not like he's at Optum.
What are you, Al Capone? Like, come on.
It's not like he was walking in with like a sledgehammer.
It's pretty weird, I thought. That was just like, sort of a weird thing. But also, at that point, I think Mayo knew, you're out of here soon, and I'm going to be taking over this whole thing, and you know what? I don't really have to be all that engaged. I could be sitting here doing this. I know what's going on for me. I don't, you know, this season's a lost cause, which it was, and maybe that's just the way he was treating it. I wonder if, well, now when he's in charge, and the things start to go awry, which, I mean, we all believe they're going to, right? We all believe that Gerard Mayo is going to face real adversity in this first
game. Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's going
to
be...
Not from ownership, but from the fan base, playing, probably from his own locker room to some extent.
You don't think so?
You don't think so?
I do think so, but I will also acknowledge, in this league, if this kid, Drake May, ends up the rest of this camp stealing the show... preseason, showing enough flashes where they say, you know what, we're just going to roll with them week one. And this kid is a baller. And I'm talking about a baller, bona fide. We're saying C.J. Stroud level output from Drake May. Everything changes. And I just think we all need to be a little careful with, because I'm one of them. I mean, I just made a joke. This will be the happiest 4-13 we've ever seen. But, like, we do need to seriously consider – if Drake May, if we got one of them ones, and everyone around here knows what it looks like, we got one here for a long time that came in the sixth round. So if you get one of those ones, everything changes. The offense, we think, stinks. We don't think there's a number one receiver. We don't think the offensive line is going to be any good. You know what a great quarterback does in this league, no matter if it's a rookie or a vet? They put a Band-Aid over every single wound on your roster. And one thing we know the defense should be up to the task. We assume Gerard Mayo, my God, defensively, don't have this defense regress at least. So let's give him benefit of the doubt there. And if Drake May can play, hey, we could see the flip side to this coin that we're not really talking about.
We could. The offense so far, according to reports, I haven't been down there. I've only seen videos and people tweeting about it. Offense seems to be struggling a little bit, implementing a lot of new stuff and really going at a slower pace. Gerard Mayo spoke on that. We'll hear what he had to say and ask the question, will this offense ever catch up with the defense next?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.